If you were listening to the last episode, you'd know that I have, in an attempt to gain more listeners, introduced full frontal nudity to the show. Last week, I had an array of nude people in the studio. And when I say studio, it's just my front room. And I was hoping that, being the only podcast out there with full frontal nudity, I would get more listeners. I didn't. And also, a situation arose that I'm not actually allowed to talk about because of legal reasons. Needless to say, I no longer have the naked people in here, but I'm still trying to keep the full frontal nudity in the show, so I'm sitting here starkers. So tell your friends about that. Say, yeah, this podcast is really good. There's a bloke sitting naked doing it. Hopefully I can get at least one more listener. I'd like to have five. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just seeing a trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. It's so good to have you here. Ah, oh, I missed you. I missed you for 2 weeks. And now you're here. So isn't it wonderful? And the answer is yes, it is wonderful. So let's start off with the interactive bit, because I know you'll love this bit. Here it comes. How are you? Really? Oh, well, that's a shame. But yeah, but that means I'll only have 3 listeners. Oh, please. Well, can you find someone to replace you so I've still got 4 listeners? Okay, no, that's fine. Well, I guess, you know, there are other podcasts out there. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, best of luck. Well, that was great, wasn't it? That's got to be the worst, most depressing interactive bit I've ever done. Thanks for that. That's not cool, man. Not cool. Right, so, remember last time I said, if I don't get one person... A lot of people didn't understand what I was saying. The deal was, all the people that I'd listed in the likes last week, I wanted one of them to say, I am here. Because a lot of people went on the Facebook and said, I am here, I'm here. Which, don't get me wrong, I loved it, I appreciated it. But it was aimed at the people that I'd listed in the likes, just to see if those people actually exist. Of all the people that said, I am here, not one of them were the people that I read out in the likes. So that means I'm not reading out the likes on Facebook anymore. It's a thing of the past, kids. We enjoyed it. It was great while it lasted, but it's over now. And I think we're just going to have to move on, really. Yeah? That's what I'm doing. I'm moving on. So just a quick catch-up on the quiz last week. Only 2 people posted their scores on the Facebook page, and that was Paul Hudderbine. I hope I said that right, Paul. And he got 21, which is pretty good. So well done, Paul, for getting 21. Benji Pearson got 11. And he's not happy about it, but I think, Benji, that's still a good score. A lot of people wouldn't have got any. So, yeah, well done, Benji. And also, well done, Benji, just for putting it out there. Because you could have just tried to hide it, but you didn't. You stood up and you said, this is who I am. I've scored 11. Because Shelley and Frank Arnold, they put, Frank and I are too embarrassed to reveal our dismal score. So there you go. I say, tell us. It don't matter. No one's going to judge you. Apart from me, I'll judge you. I'll be like, is that it? So if you want to tell me your score, you can still go back to that Facebook post and put your score on there, or not. Do you know what I mean? Keep it to yourself. Do what you want. It's your life at the end of the day. If it was my life, I'd put it on there. But it's not my life. It's your life. So do things your way and be happy and proud of what you're doing. So that's it for the intro. Now it's time for this.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for a segment.
I wonder if you dislike that jingle as much as I do, because I really do not like it. I might, and when I say I might, I probably won't. I might try and record a new jingle for this segment so that I don't have to use that ever again. Because now it's time for our top 10 Christmas movie lists. This week, the lists come from Katie Gibson and Art Kilmer from the Cozy Christmas podcast. So first up, we've got Katie Gibson's. Now, I've got to say, when I listened back to last episode, my reading out of the top 10 list I thought was a bit subdued. So I'm going to try and do it in a slightly different style this time. I'm going to try and do it like a... If I say Radio 1 disc jockey, you probably, a lot of you won't know what I'm talking about, but Radio 1 is a BBC radio station in the UK and it's aimed at younger people, and the DJs have all got that sort of way about them. So here we go. This is Katie Gibson's Top 10 Christmas Films. At number 10, we have Santa Claus the Movie. Number 9 is A Christmas Story. In at number 8, it's Love Actually. And number 7, it's Arthur Christmas. Brand new this week, at number 6, we have All Those Little Creatures. They're green, they're scary, they're gremlins. This is awful, isn't it? I'm still doing it, but I'm not proud of it. Just so you know, don't think I think this is good. At number 5, it is Elf. Number 4, moving all the way, it's the Polar Express. Brand new at number 3 is The Santa Claus. At number 2, we have Oh Little Boy All on His Own, He's Home Alone. And finally, this week's number 1 is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. What's really bad about my delivery there? It's meant to be from a British radio station, but it was like mildly American, my accent then. And I apologise to everyone that's listening. That was absolute trolley. But Katie, I've got to say, that's a pretty decent list, actually. And that is the first appearance of Santa Claus the Movie in one of our lists, I think. Probably, I don't know, I'm not paying attention, am I? So now we have the top 10 films from Art Kilmer. Like I said, he's the host of the Cozy Christmas podcast. Worth a listen, that one. It's a very lovely podcast. And I'm going to do my best again to try and sound a bit like a Radio 1 disc jockey. Here we go. At number 10, it's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 9, it's Home Alone. At number 8, it's Amazing. It's a Miracle on 34th Street, 1994 edition. At number 7, oh, is that a train I hear? Yes, it is. It's the Polar Express. Brand new at number 6, it's A Christmas Carol, starring Alastair Sim. And at number 5, it's The Grinch, 2018 edition, featuring Benedict Cumberbatch. This week's number 4 is A Muppet's Christmas Carol. And number 3, it's The Grinch again, this time with Jim Carrey. Number 2 is The Elf, and this week's number 1, we have The Santa Claus. That was, again, I'm putting on an American accent. If you're American, you might be thinking, yeah, but it's a really bad American accent. I'm not even trying to do an American accent. I don't know what I'm trying to do. Just trying to do a blooming podcast, and I don't have a go at me. Please don't, because I am very fragile right now. Well, I'm not, but don't have a go at me, because this is just annoying. No one likes people having a go at them, do they? I don't. Maybe you do. Maybe that's your thing. Well, that ain't my thing. Can we just move on? Because I've got to tell you where these stand in the rankings. Okay? Okay. I think what's interesting is that those two, neither of them have It's a Wonderful Life in them. But all the previous three that I did do have It's a Wonderful Life. And I'll tell you something else that's interesting. I've done 5 top tens, and all of those top tens have Home Alone, Elf, and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation in them. So those three films are in all the top tens I've done so far. So far. Will that change next week? I don't know. Might do. We'll see, won't we? It's very interesting. So here are the rankings now. Are you ready? At number 1 is still Benji Pearson. At number 2, it is Art Kilmer. At number 3, it's Scott Newman. Number 4, Katie Gibson. And at number 5, Robert Nicholas. So there you go. That's the rankings now. If you think, and I can't lie to you, it's very difficult. It is, because I'm looking at these lists thinking, oh, is that slightly better than that? And there's certain films that weight it differently, and I think, no, you can't. And what's interesting is Art Kilmer's list, I like it a lot, but there's two versions of A Grinch in there that should go against it. But I like both of those versions of The Grinch, so it's difficult. I like all the films that everyone's chosen, actually, but it's certain ones get certain higher ratings. That's how it works. And at the moment, that's how it stands. If you think your top 10 list could make it to the top of the list, then send it in. Or don't. Again, we discussed this earlier. It's your life. Do what you want. Okay? Right then. Now let's do this.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle. Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
Back in July, I received a message from a gentleman by the name of Steve Hurley, and he was telling me that his favourite version of A Christmas Carol is Scrooge, the musical version, starring Albert Finney, and he asked if I'd ever covered it. And to be honest, he shouldn't have had to ask, he should have just listened to all the other episodes. There's not many there, do you know what I mean? We're only up to like, what, 30-odd? I said to him I hadn't, because I'm trying to space out the better known ones so I don't sort of front load it and then, you know, like the end of next year or the end of this year, I've only got like naff ones that no one's heard of. So I've still got plenty of good ones left. But today I am going to cover the one that Steve mentioned. Now, if you haven't seen it, you should, because it is a good one. It's a very good one, actually. There's a few things that I'm going to hold against it, but even the greatest ones, I've got to hold a few things against them. But this one, it stars Albert Finney, and it was made in 1970. Now, this is the first ever filmed musical version of it, and it is also the first ever full-colour version that was ever shown. When I say that, I think we're talking just movies here, not like on TV as well, but yeah, anyway, there you go. And it was directed by a chap called Ronald Neame. Now, I'd never heard of this chap, but he also directed The Poseidon Adventure. That was the film he did after this one. And the screenplay and songs are by a chap by the name of... Now, I'm going to say this wrong, probably, but I'm going to say Leslie Bricusse, or Bricusse. I'll spell it for you. B-R-I-C-U-S-S-E. There you go. How would you pronounce that? Like, really? Oh, okay, well... I'm going to stick with the word, did it? When Albert Finney played the role of Scrooge, he was only 33 years old. And obviously he's playing a much older man. And they used a lot of makeup on him. And I've got to say, the makeup is phenomenal. Like, you know, quite often when they do someone's makeup to make him look older, it's just a person in old makeup. He looks like an old guy. Especially for his time in 1970. In my opinion, I'd say the makeup job they've done is pretty much flawless. His performance actually won him a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Comedy or Musical Role. And he is very good, I'd say, in it. If you're not aware of Albert Finney, he was in a number of films. Sadly, there's nothing like none of his major roles that I'm that familiar with. There's a film called Saturday Night, Sunday Morning, which was like one of his big breakout roles. It's a British film. He was in Big Fish. He played like the older version of Ewan McGregor's character. And sadly, he passed away in 2019, so just 2 years ago. So I'm going to just go through the film as it is. So it opens, you've got the music playing, and you've got the title cards. And all the title cards, they're drawn by a chap called Ronald Searle. And I'm guessing most of you have never heard of Ronald Searle, but he's a very famous illustrator and caricaturist here in the UK. He did a lot of like newspaper cartoons and stuff like that. Then the film opens and you've got carol singers singing in the street and they're like knocking on people's doors, getting them to give them cash. I like that because in the book it's just one carol singer singing at Scrooge's window, I think. It's often overlooked, but in this version they've got a bunch of kids, so you know, they've not done it exactly, but I like that anyway. It's a good way to open the film, and they knock on Scrooge's door, Scrooge opens it and has a go at them, and they all leave, and then it goes into Scrooge's office. Then there's a knock at the door again. He opens it. Who should it be but his nephew Harry? Did you spot anything wrong with that? His nephew Harry? His nephew called Harry? Yeah. Explain that to me. Do you know what? There's so often this happens in versions of A Christmas Carol. I think, why on earth did you change that didn't need to be changed? His name's Fred. We know his name's Fred. It's nephew Fred. And for some reason, in this... his nephew Harry. I've no idea why they did that. And don't get me started on when we get onto Tiny Bill. That's a joke, actually. They do still call him Tiny Tim. But still, why I think it's okay to change Harry? I don't get it. Now, the chap that plays nephew Harry, to be honest, he was like in his mid-40s. I looked it up. And he seems a little bit old to be playing Fred, really. You know, he's sort of a middle-aged man, whereas I always sort of saw Fred as more youthful than that. You know, maybe early middle-aged, sort of, I don't know. It's not a major thing, but I just felt he was a little bit old for the role, to be honest, in my opinion. He comes in, it's the usual, you know, there's nothing new there. Scrooge doesn't want to go around his for Christmas dinner. Then we see Bob Cratchit. And Bob Cratchit is played by a chap called David Collins. Now, I looked up David Collins and couldn't find much about him. But what did strike me is that he did the voice of Monkey in the TV show Monkey. Do you remember that? I used to love that show when I was a kid. Monkey magic. Monkey magic. Monkey magic. Monkey magic. So Cratchit's time's up, so he leaves. And the next bit is really reminiscent of the Alistair Sim version, where the kids are staring in the shop window at all the wonderful toys. And this time, instead of it just being Tiny Tim, this time it's Tim and one of his sisters. And then Bob Cratchit comes out and he starts singing with them about Christmas. I'll play you a little bit of the first song, actually. Just have a little bit.
Christmas children peep into Christmas windows. See your world as pretty as a dream.
Christmas trees and toys,
Christmas hopes and joys,
Christmas puddings rich with Christmas cream.
Now, I can't lie to you, I didn't really care for that song. I thought it was a bit sort of melancholy. I thought it sounded a little bit dark. It didn't sound as happy as you'd think it would be. Like, this is Christmas Eve, you know, you think it's a lot more joyful. It's not an awful song, I just didn't really care for it. Then Bob goes to buy a goose, right? Okay, I guess this is how they bought him, but it's still got like all the feathers around his neck, and his head is still on, and it's still got some feathers on his wings, and he's going, look at this lovely goose. And then he gives it to Tiny Tim to carry, right? And he seems quite happy. I tell you what, if that was my daughters, they'd be like, Daddy, it's a dead animal. Why are you giving me a dead animal? Now, I know times are different, you know, they're not going to wrap it in plastic back then, but still, it just, I don't know. It struck me, I guess. I suppose that's how it used to be. I will come back to that, actually, later. But it's interesting that, you know, they had it, like, I'm guessing that's how they used to sell the turkeys. Then he also buys a pudding. I didn't like this because it's quite a big deal in the book where Bob Cratchit's wife is talking about the pudding, you know, when they're having Christmas dinner. And he goes and buys one. And I sort of thought, well, I don't know. Just, it's a minor thing. I don't think they needed it. You know what I mean? But that's... Okay, we'll move on from that. One thing I want to say about the song is, it's very interesting because there's only one, maybe two songs in this that are quite memorable. Most of them are quite forgettable. And they're not real showstoppers, a lot of the songs. But I was reading an article about this, and they said that not having showstoppers actually helps the story progress rather than... Bang is a massive song, and then we carry on with the story. In this, the songs do help tell the story, and I see that, and I actually agree with it. And it's funny because I didn't think I would. You know, I'd never liked any of the songs, but now I see that's how it works, and it does seem to work well. So they've changed it a little bit next because Scrooge leaves, and then the two portly gentlemen turn up actually on his doorstep, and he's walking down the street talking to them. And what is interesting is the two portly gentlemen are portly. You know, normally have one larger one and one thin one, but this time they were both like bigger chaps. And one of them is played by a guy called Roy Kinnear. He was quite a famous actor in Britain. He's been in a lot of different films. You might recognise him. I'm pretty sure he's in one of the Herbie films. And he was also in the Musketeers films from the early 80s that had Racquel Welsh in them. Isn't that funny? The main thing I remember from the Musketeers films in the early 80s was Racquel Welsh. Might have even been the late 70s thinking about it. So then... After he sort of told the portly gentleman they can't have any money, he starts singing a song called I Hate People. You can have a little bit of it.
I hate people. I hate people. People are despicable creatures, loathsome, inexplicable creatures, good for nothing, kickable creatures. I hate people.
While he's singing this, he's going around collecting money from all the people that owe it to him. And what's interesting is no one pays him. It's like all of them, he's like adding interest to the amount they owe him. And you think, well, come on, it's Christmas. Haven't you earned any money? If you're not going to earn it now, when are you going to earn it? But still, there's that. And what's also interesting is there's these two old ladies that are stallholders, and one of them played Witch Hazel in Rent-A-Ghost. Now, that probably means absolutely nothing to nearly all of you out there, unless you're roughly my age and you're from the UK, because there was a TV show that ran for like nearly 10 years in the UK called Rent-A-Ghost, where you'd rent a ghost if you wanted one to haunt a property, you know? And one of the ghosts was called Witch Hazel. So I'd love to know, actually, if just put a message on Facebook saying, yeah, I remember Rent-A-Ghost. You know, it'd be nice to hear if you do. Oh, another thing I should mention at this time, actually, is he's walking down the streets and it looks great. And apparently the sets they used were the same sets that they used for when they filmed the musical Oliver, like only 2 years before. Yeah, which makes sense because it does look really good. Then he carries on going around collecting the money, and the song changes because the carol singer lads turn up again and they start singing a song called Father Christmas, where they're sort of taking the mick out of him, pretending that he's like Father Christmas, because he's completely the opposite of Father Christmas. And this is when he goes to collect some money from a chap called Tom Jenkins, who's like a soup seller on the street. And he was played by a guy called Anton Rogers. And again, if you're my age in the UK, you'd be familiar with Anton Rogers. He was in a sitcom called Fresh Fields, which ran for a long time. And he was also in another one called May to December, where he played like an older chap that had a younger girlfriend. And although I was very familiar with the actor Anton Rogers, and I knew he was in this, it was only the second time round where I actually figured out which character he was playing, because it was that long ago, I didn't recognise the chap. Then Scrooge gets back to his house, and the face appears in the door knocker. And what I liked about this is, in the book it says that when he goes inside the house, he checks the back of the door. And he does actually do that. He sort of has a look at the back of the door after he comes in. So, you know, is there something on the other side of the door? And then, as another bit, which is nice that they've added, is the horse-drawn hearse goes past him up the stairs. And that does appear in a couple of other versions. But I think this is the only one, the feature-length version, where it actually goes up the stairs. Like, quite often you'll see the hearse, but it's not actually on the stairs. So that was good. I like that. Congratulations, well done. So Scrooge goes upstairs and he sits down to eat his broth, which he's been given by Tom Jenkins. And then the voice, Scrooge, comes down the chimney, which was sort of interesting as well, because in the book it says that Marley's face appears all over the fireplace, the hearth of the fireplace. And so in this, I sort of felt like they were giving a nod to that happening. Then all the bells ring. He's locked all the doors, but Alec Guinness comes in and he's playing Marley. And we all know who Alec Guinness is, don't we? Obi-Wan Kenobi. And what's quite interesting is you've got here Albert Finney as Scrooge and Alec Guinness as Jacob Marley, and both of them have had younger versions of their characters played by Ewan McGregor. So you've got Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor, and in Big Fish, the younger version of Albert Finney was Ewan McGregor as well, which I thought was very interesting. Do you agree? No? Well, tough. So this is a bit silly. So Alec Guinness comes in, sorry, Jacob Marley comes in, and Scrooge is like, oh, you're going to sit down? And he pulls up a chair and then sits in midair next to it. And I think that's meant to be really funny. Unfortunately, it wasn't. So then Marley's like, oh, you don't believe in me, like in the book. And sadly, they didn't have the line, there's more of gravy than the grave about you, which bothered me, actually, because that's one of my favourite lines. I think this might be the first version I've watched where it hasn't got that line. So that was quite a surprise. Yeah, and then, it's a bit silly, already when Marley comes in, he's got this funny sort of weird walk he's doing, which I suppose we're meant to think is ghostly, but really it just seems like he's a bit strange. He starts flapping his hands, not his whole arms, just flapping his hands, and he starts floating up into the air and starts wailing, like in the book when Marley starts wailing and rattling his chains and that. And apparently Alec Guinness got a double hernia from being the wire work he had to do to make him float in the air, which I can't imagine he found much fun. So the next, Marley takes Scrooge through the window and they're flying through the air, and there's all these ghosts and ghouls flying towards them. And I've got to say, some of those ghosts and ghouls that are flying towards them, they're a bit scary. They are not pretty to look at, I'll tell you that. Yeah, not good. And then he's sort of reciting a bit of a poem. It's like leading into a song, but they never actually use the full song. They just cut it back and Scrooge is back in his bedchambers. I don't quite know why that was, that they decided not to use that song. I couldn't find anything else about it. And then Marley tells him that, you know, he's going to be haunted by three ghosts. And this annoyed me because he goes, the first one's coming at 1 o'clock, second one's coming at 2 o'clock, third one's coming at 3 o'clock. Anyone that's familiar with the book will know that it's supposed to be spread out over three separate days. It doesn't really come across in any versions I've seen, but the idea is that Scrooge hasn't been with them like for a couple of hours. He's been with them for like a day each, almost. But they never express that, and they never really show it, which is such a shame, because that's what it says in the book. And then it means so much more when Scrooge is saying, oh, it's still Christmas Day, I haven't missed it, later on when he's shouting out to the boy in the street. So then Scrooge goes to bed and the first ghost turns up, and it's like an old lady, which I thought was an interesting take. She's a very sort of prim looking lady, and she takes Scrooge to go and see when he was at school, and then he sees like his sister Fan come to see him at school, and then it goes to Fezziwigs, and this is an interesting bit. They were singing this song, December the 25th.
Of all the days in all the year that I'm familiar with, there's only one that's rarely fun.
December the 25th.
Correct.
Ask anyone, call Robinson or Brown or Jones or Smith, their favourite day, and they will say
December the 25th.
Correct.
December the 25th.
What is
December the 25th? The dearest day in all the year. December the 25th.
Correct.
And this is where Scrooge meets Belle. And in this, she's not called Belle, she's called Isabel. It's not a massive change. And do you know what? There was no blooming need for it either, was there? But in this version, it turns out that Isabel is Fezziwig's daughter. And you sort of see their courtship, which is a bit strange as well, because it's like they're going on their courtship, and the whole time, wherever they seem to go, like Fezziwig and his wife are hanging around behind them. And then Scrooge puts a ring on her finger. And then she's singing a song called Happiness, which is not a particularly happy song, actually. It just seems a bit dreary.
They say happiness is a thing you can't see, a thing you can't touch. I disagree.
Here we are.
Yoo-hoo.
Happiness is standing beside me. I can see him. He can see me.
And then it's the scene where she leaves him. And this is quite interesting, because in the whole of from Fezziwig's party up to the point where she's leaving him, Scrooge doesn't actually speak once. Fezziwig does, Isabel does, but you don't hear Scrooge speak. You don't say a word until she's leaving, and that's the only time he speaks. And this is why they had Albert Finney, who's only a 33-year-old man, he's a young man, playing an old guy, purely so that they could have him play a younger version of himself as well. I don't know if they needed to do that, really. To be honest, I've never been a fan of versions where they have a young actor playing an old actor just so that they can do the young scenes. Just get an actor that looks like him to play the young scenes. Or, in the case of the Alistair Sim version, get an actor that looks nothing like him playing a young version. But, you know, there you go, that's what they decided to do. So then Scrooge wakes up in bed after she's left him and he's all sad, and then who should turn up but the ghost of Christmas Present. And he is massive, played by a chap called Kenneth Moore. And it's quite interesting, because Kenneth Moore was only 5'7", and apparently he had to wear these a foot high stilts to walk around on to make him taller than Albert Finney, who himself was about 5'7". It's a bit weird, because he's there, and the way he talks to Scrooge, I've not heard it in another version like this, because he's, listen to this.
Come over here, you weird little man.
I thought that was an interesting way for him to be speaking to Scrooge. And he gives Scrooge a drink, and he says, drink this, and Scrooge drinks it, and he's like, oh, this is lovely, can I have some more? And he says, what is it? And the ghost says, it's the milk of human kindness. Well, it doesn't look like the milk of human kindness. To be honest, it looks like, I don't know, brandy or wine or something. And he does get very happy after he's had a sip of that, so it makes me think it probably is wine, but there you go. So the first thing they do is they visit the Cratchits. And this is nice, because sometimes they show the Cratchits like really dismal and sad, but it's quite the opposite. They're having a wonderful Christmas dinner, everyone's very happy, and Tiny Tim's there and he sings a little song, and I thought that was good. And then they're going to obviously do the toast to Scrooge, and Bob Cratchit's wife is like, oh, why have we got to toast him, as always. Here's one thing though, right, let me play you something from last episode. So there you go. I mean, we don't learn a lot about Martha Cratchit. Right, there's me referring to Cratchit's wife, yeah, as Martha Cratchit. That's not her name. That's his daughter. It's called Martha. Not one of you picked up on that. Not one of you. So, what does that say? Are you even listening to this podcast? There's four of you out there. I would have thought one of you would have noticed it. Anyway, I just thought I should admit that from the last episode, that, you know, I did realise that I've made a mistake when I called her Martha Cratchit, because that's not her name. In this one, actually, her name is, it's Ethel Cratchit. So, next up, we go to nephew Harry's, I can't get over it, nephew Fred's place, although he's changed his name to Harry, apparently. And it's the usual, but what's different about this? I think one thing, there's a lot of people there. Like, normally there's like a fistful of people, but with this one, there's dozens of people. It's a massive party, which is interesting, because earlier on, Scrooge said, you know, you're poor enough. Clearly he's not that poor, because he's got a massive house, which is quite ornately decorated, and he's got loads of people there. But, you know, there you go. What is interesting about this scene, the only thing really that stands out, is the game they play is not the one in the book, which is like a version of 20 questions, and it's different also to the one, I think it's called Similes, which is the one in the George C. Scott version. I think that's the only other different version I'm aware of. But this one, they play a game called The Minister's Cat. And what's interesting is both the 20 questions version and the Similes version from the George C. Scott one, the point of it is at the end of it, they refer to Scrooge, and that Scrooge sees, oh, they're mocking me. Whereas in this one, in no way do they even mention Scrooge. All you've got to do is list words that the minister's cat is by a certain letter. So I think that the letter's L. So the minister's cat is lovely. And then it goes on to the next person. And you've got to keep thinking of words beginning with the letter L. When you can't think of one, you're out.
The minister's cat is a languid cat.
The minister's cat is a lordly cat.
The minister's cat is a lazy cat.
The minister's cat is a ludicrous cat.
The minister's cat is a lascivious cat.
The minister's cat is a...
Are you going to go and play that? Are you going to go off now? Don't stop the podcast so you can go off and play The Minister's Cat. That's not cool. Just because I've taught you this fantastic new game that's sweeping the nation, there's no excuse for you to stop the podcast so you can go and play with your friends and family. I don't know how much longer the podcast is going to be. Probably no more than another 20 minutes. All right? So you stay here and then you go and play The Minister's Cat. Thank you. Goodness. That's pretty much it for the scene. And then Scrooge goes back to his bedchamber. And then who should turn up? Oh my life, it's the ghost of Christmas Yet to Come. The ghost of Christmas Yet to Come is played by Paddy Stone. And obviously you don't see him do much. He moves a little bit. But he was the choreographer for all the dance scenes. So I thought that was worth mentioning. Now, they completely change it from the book. Okay, there's only two scenes really. No, three scenes really. And the first one is... all the people that owe Scrooge money are in the street and they're really happy. You've got Tom Jenkins, the one I mentioned earlier, who's the soup seller. He stood there and he's saying how grateful he is and how everyone should be to what the wonderful thing that Scrooge has done. Now, Scrooge has got his back to the office and what he doesn't see is they're bringing out his coffin. And the thing they're grateful to Scrooge for is because he's carked it. And they sing the one song that I was familiar with before I'd seen the musical. This is quite a famous song, and I'll play a bit for you here.
Thank you very much, thank you very much. That's the nicest thing that anyone's ever done for me. I make a double dutch, but my delight is such, I feel as if a losing war's been won for me.
I'm guessing most of you might have heard that one. It's not massively famous, but I definitely had heard it. I think it's been on a couple of adverts, but I'm not 100% about that. Anyway, they're all singing. It's quite a nice scene, actually. Like, they're all marching down the street. It's quite a big number. That almost is a showstopper. And what's interesting about that is, because this is a musical, and because that is a big number, this is the only one, really, that sort of takes away from the story, because it's something that's not in the book, if you see what I mean. Do you see what I mean? Do you even care? Okay. Then he goes to Bob Cratchit's house, and it's the similar scene where Bob Cratchit's wife is there doing some sewing, and she's saying, oh, the light hurts my eyes, I don't want to let your dad to see my weak eyes. But in the book, and most versions, Bob turns up, but in this one he doesn't. Scrooge says, oh, I want to see Bob Cratchit. So the ghost takes him to the graveyard, and that's where he sees Bob at Tiny Tim's gravestone. And then he shows Scrooge his own grave, and I can't remember if he pushes him in, or Scrooge just... falls into his grave. But this point, the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, which has been reasonably animated up until this point, is suddenly just a skeleton in a robe and it's not moving. And it's really bad because for me it takes it away. It's like, oh my god, it's a skeleton. A little bit spooky, but because the skeleton's just standing there, there's no movement at all. It's not, you know, there's nothing. It is literally just a skeleton in a robe. It almost seems like the ghost's been replaced by the skeleton. If you saw it, you'd know what I mean. Anyway, Scrooge falls down into his grave all the way to hell. That's right. And there's a final scene, or say final scene of the future, where he's actually in hell, and who should turn up but Jacob Marley, or Obi-Wan Kenobi, as he likes to be known. And Jacob Marley is there, like, going, well, you're in hell now. Let me lead you to your office. And the idea is that Scrooge has got to spend the rest of eternity in this office. And it's the one place in hell that is absolutely freezing cold, which is a way of, like, penance because of the way he made Bob Cratchit be so cold in his office. And then the final bit, this bunch of burly men, topless, with, like, hoods over their heads, but he's big greased up burly men all come in carrying this massive chain, and they drape it all over Scrooge, and Scrooge is there going, oh no no, and then he's sort of being strangled by the chain, and then he wakes up in his bed chamber being strangled by his bedclothes, and he's joyous and everything wonderful happens, of course, at this point. So it's the usual scene first off, where he's in his bedroom and he's running around, he bursts open the shutters and the window, he's looking out into the street, right? He doesn't call down to the boy, okay? There's no boy down there. But then he runs around the house, and then he runs into his hallway and shouts, Merry Christmas, everyone. It's like, why are you doing? There's no one in your house, mate. There's actually no one here for you to be shouting at. Maybe some mice or something. Why didn't you shout that when you just burst the windows open? Anyway, then he then he shouts up the chimney, Merry Christmas, Jacob Marley, which, you know, whatever. And then he gets dressed and goes downstairs, and that's where he sees the boy. And here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. Does the little boy say Walker? No. And do you know what? I was hoping, I was holding out hope that in this version he did, but he didn't. Scrooge sends him off to buy the turkey, and it's a similar setup where the turkey's still got half his feathers on his head and neck and that, so to make it so you definitely know that it's a corpse, not just some food, which is always handy. And then he goes and buys a ridiculous amount of toys. Interesting bit here, in the toy shop, the man that runs the toy shop, and I recognised him because he's got such a look about him. I guess most people listening to this podcast won't be familiar with the TV show, but there used to be a TV show called Wurzel Gummidge in the UK, starring John Pertwee, who was, I think, the third Doctor Who, and he was a scarecrow. And they remade it recently with Mackenzie Crook, who played Gareth in the British version of The Office. But back when I was a kid, it was a really famous show, and Wurzel Gummidge was a scarecrow that came to life, and he was created, I believe, by a man called the Crow Man. And this chap, the toy shop owner, was the guy that played the Crow Man, and he also played Catweasel in a TV show called Catweasel, which, both of these, very British shows, so I'm guessing the vast majority of people listening to this have never heard of either. But if you watch it, you might think, oh, he has got a distinctive look, that chap. And that's why I recognised him. So there you go, that's the toy shop guy. And then this is quite a long number, this bit, because he's singing the whole time. So he starts off by singing I Like Life. And then the carol singers start following him from earlier. They start singing Father Christmas, Father Christmas. But this time they're singing it like in a joyful way, and that he is actually like a nice guy, which is nice. And then Scrooge does some very interesting dancing, some very shady moves that I don't think would impress the ladies if he was doing it in a club, but there's that. And then there's a bit, right, because he bumps into his nephew, whose name is Harry. Have I mentioned that yet? And he gives him two bottles of Moët. I don't know if you're familiar with Moët. It's like a type of champagne or Brut or something. And the bottles are clearly from like 1970. Now, I don't know what bottles of Moët look like in 1843, but I did a little bit of research to try and find some pictures of bottles. Furthest back I got was about like the 1900s, and it didn't look anything like the bottles did in the film. So my problem is, it's one of two things. Either it's just shoddy and lazy, or it's product placement. Now, that's fine. If it's product placement, I'll accept that. But if it's shoddy and lazy, why not just give him a couple of nondescript bottles of wine? No one's going to care. The whole film doesn't pivot on the fact that he gives him a couple of bottles of champagne, does it? And this is the other bit. Don't forget, he's gone and bought a turkey that's still got the head on. And that ain't something you do nowadays, is it? That might have been something from Victorian times. So why not have the Moët look like it was from Victorian times as well? No? Oh, whatever. Okay, then they start singing Thank You Very Much as well. So they've got like three songs at least in this whole scene where he's going and buying stuff and giving gifts to everyone. Oh, and he writes off everyone's debts as well. He signs, he's like, rips all the pages out of his debtor's book. So everyone's, I think that might be why they're singing Thank You Very Much. And then he goes and gets a Father Christmas suit and puts it on. And he goes to visit the Cratchits and he dishes out the presents there. And to begin with, they're like, they don't know who it is, which is kind of nice. And then he sort of pulls down his beard and, oh my life, it's Ebenezer Scrooge. I never would have thought it. And what's interesting about that, it's nothing major, but back in Victorian times, the red and white suit hadn't really been established as the suit that Father Christmas wore. That was, now a lot of people think it was because of Coca-Cola. It's not because of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola sort of solidified that image, but the red and white suit was more like early 1900s. So yeah, but still, it's a nice bit anyway, nice touch. And that's pretty much the end of the film. And generally, It's a great version. The bit when he goes into hell, I don't know why they added that. There's not a song number in it. If there'd been a song, maybe it would make sense. But there's no song, so they've added something that really doesn't need to be there. And a lot of versions, apparently, when it's shown on TV, they cut that bit out. But otherwise, they stay fairly true to the book, apart from blooming Harry's name. What is that about? But if you've never seen it, definitely go and have a watch of it. And the brilliant thing is, it's on YouTube. So you can watch the whole film in high def on YouTube. So yeah, if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. So that is this episode's version of A Christmas Carol. And now it's time for this. You know, that's another jingle that's not the best, is it? I mean, if you didn't know that they're shouting Frank the Tank, Frank the Tank, you wouldn't know what they were shouting, I reckon. I've just had another listen to it, and it just doesn't sound that clear, is it? But I got that from the film Old School, which is where Frank the Tank got his nickname from. So, yeah. Anyway, this is another section from my curious Christmas customs correspondent, Frank the Tank. And I've got to say, it's another doozy. Now, don't forget, it was Frank that sent through the Yule log thing, which has now become a running segment that everyone loves, don't they? The answer's no, but it's there anyway. But now he sent me another blinder, and this one's really good. So this is the Tumbleweed Christmas Tree in Chandler, Arizona. Now, this dates back to 1957, and the story goes that they'd replaced all the light poles in the streets, and they weren't as strong as the previous ones, and they weren't strong enough to hold like all the light displays that they'd put up. So they had to come up with a new plan. And the first thing they came up with, apparently it was a chap called Bill Wilson, who was the manager of the JCPenney store, and he came up with the idea of making loads of Christmas wreaths out of cotton balls. Now, it's not cotton ball B-A-L-L, like you might use, you know, to take your makeup off, which I do every night. It's cotton ball B-O-L-L, which are the buds on the cotton plant that are picked. And those were placed on wreaths. They made 80 of these wreaths, and they had them on the lights. So obviously, they'd be a lot lighter than your average Christmas wreath. And they had all these up on the lamppost, and they also made a Christmas tree out of tumbleweeds.
See them tumbling down, pledging their love to the ground. Lonely but free I'll be found, drifting along with a tumbling tumbleweed.
Now at the time, the talk of the town was more about the Christmas wreaths rather than the tumbleweed tree. But as years went by, the tumbleweed tree became like the one that everyone was talking about. Originally, from what I can gather, I don't know how tall the original one was, but it sounds more like it was just a pile of tumbleweeds, really. They might have stuck them together somehow. But nowadays, the tumbleweed tree is 35 foot high, and it's a real job to make the thing. So they start off with like a framework, it's like a massive pole down the middle, then they put a cone of chicken wire around that, and then they pile up the tumbleweeds. Now, apparently, they started doing it from the top down rather than the bottom up. God knows how you do that. I suppose if you're attaching them to the chicken wire, it would work, but if it was me, I'd start at the bottom. So they put all these tumbleweeds around the framework. Then, the thing with tumbleweeds is, they're dry and they're brittle and they're liable to catch light. So they have to spray the whole thing with flame retardant, and then they cover it in white paint. And then, while the paint is still wet, well, apparently it's 45 gallons of paint they use to cover the whole thing. And then while it's still wet, they just throw 80 pounds of glitter onto these tumbleweeds. So you've got this lovely white, glittery cone shape of tumbleweeds. And then they add the lights, and they put on 1,200 LED lights on the tree. And then they top it off with a great big beautiful star. And it uses, you're looking at about 1,000 tumbleweeds to build the thing up. Now, I don't know if you know much about tumbleweeds, but they're actually quite a really interesting plant. I mean, we're all familiar with the tumbleweeds you see in the Western movies. Now, I don't know if you know how big they are, but you're looking at about a plant that's about 3 foot across. And I always used to think, well, how does that grow? Where does it get its nutrients from if it's like rolling around the whole time? But the tumbleweed, if you don't, I'm going to, you know, it's a little bit of a lesson now. It's got nothing to do with Christmas, but, you know, maybe you'll learn something. Maybe you'll take that away and then you'll be down the pub telling your mates, do you know anything about tumbleweeds? And they'll be like, no. And you can go, well, I'll tell you. And they'll go, don't tell me. I'm not interested, mate. I'm just here to drink. And you'll be like, And that'd be a bit sad, wouldn't it? But that's life. Anyway, they start off as like a little seed, obviously, and it grows in the ground, and then it grows into this big plant. It's about 3 foot wide. There's loads of different types of tumbleweed, but I'm talking about the main ones that you'd see, which has got numerous different names, actually, but its Latin name is Calli tragus. I hope I said that right. So it grows up, they blossom, and it's not the most gorgeous flower you've ever seen, but it's like these little flowers on it, and it's a green plant, big green weed. And then they start to dry out a bit, because when they're very small, you can actually eat them, but then they get bigger, and then they get spines on them, and then they start to dry out. And when they sort of hit a certain age, they'll start to dry out completely, and the stem becomes very weak, and then a gust of wind will be enough to knock it from its roots, and off it tumbles. And the whole idea of it tumbling is so that it spreads its seeds. So you've got this plant that's rolling around, and it's dead at this point, but the seeds are still in there, and as it's rolling, it's just dropping seeds everywhere. And that's how they work, that's how they spread. And I tell you what, I watched an interesting video on YouTube about like what an invasive weed this is. It's like they were taking over whole towns, just getting blown in, all these thousands of tumbleweeds and covering people's houses and that. Worth having a gander at. The problem is though, because they're dry and they're brittle, they are like the perfect thing to catch light, and they like a real fire hazard. They're terrible things. So yeah, much as we all love a tumbleweed in a Western movie, not so great if it's burning your house down. So the tumbleweeds that they are using for the Christmas tree in Chandler, they cut them before they're ready to tumble, which means they're still a bit limber, they're still quite soft, so you don't have to worry about them all crumbling when they sort of stack them all up. And they cut them, and they cut like 1,000 of these, although I did read that they sort of might cut like as many as 1,200. And they start cutting in September, so they've got enough, and they'll use just the best ones for the tumbleweed tree. If they were harvesting the ones that are already tumbling, they'd be really dry and brittle, and they'd all just collapse under the weight. So these ones, they're nice and firm still, and they stack them all up, and away you go. And that's pretty much it. That's the tree. And they have a massive lighting ceremony and a big old parade for it. And it's just become a tradition that's been going since 1957. Anyone want to do the maths on that? That's right. It's been going 230 years. 230 years. Actually, it's interesting because it looks like the tumbleweed hasn't actually been in America that long. It's not 230 years. If you do the maths, you'll find it's like 64 years. Yeah, they're actually an invasive species that apparently was brought over, like the seeds were probably in grain stock that came over with the early settlers when they started planting out in that sort of area. So there you go. That is the story of the Chandler Tumbleweed Christmas tree. I'll put some links up on Facebook. I highly suggest you have a look at it. It's quite a sight to behold. I'm not saying it's gorgeous, but, you know, in a place that's as dry and arid as Arizona, you're not going to have some Rockefeller Christmas tree, are you? Of course you're not, because it's not going to bloom and grow there, is it? It's going to dry out and die in no time. But you can have your tumbleweed Christmas tree. So avaganda, I think, is quite a nice thing. I want to say a big thank you to Frank again for sending through that one. I love that one. And it's opened my eyes to lots of other different alternate Christmas trees that are around the world, and I will be looking at some of those at a later stage. But right now, it's time for everyone's favourite part of the show. It's this.
Yule logs, you'll love them, I'll love them, we'll love them, we'll love the Yule logs, the Yule logs, the Yule logs, those Yule logs, yeah! This episode's Yule log is slightly different in that it's not a Yule log, but don't worry, boys and girls, it is still very boring. It's called the Happy Holly Glazer from Krispy Kreme, and all it is like it's a brick wall, like set up, decked out to look like a sort of fireplace, and coming through is a conveyor of Krispy Kreme donuts that are being glazed. And there's like a waterfall of icing coming down, glazing the donuts as they go. And it's 2 hours long, and to spice it up a bit, instead of it just being loads of donuts, you also get one of those big tall nutcracker dolls that comes through and gets glazed, and then you get a big box, a wrapped up Christmas present that comes through and gets glazed. And then after that you get another nutcracker and then another present and then another, and it just keeps doing that. And it's 2 hours long. Now what's quite interesting about this one is it has got a start and a finish. When the video begins, the conveyor's running, but there's no donuts on it. And then gradually you see them start coming through the waterfall of glaze and they're coming out glazed. And then you get like the nutcracker, the present, the nutcracker present, oh, no, 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 no. And at the end of the 2 hours, it ends with like the donuts coming through and then all the donuts have gone, the conveyor's empty and the waterfall of glaze stops, like the waterfall of icing. And that's it. Now, a lot of the others, you know, it's just like a loop. Whereas this one, it's got a start, it's got a finish, and it's got a very, very long middle. But here's the thing, right? I'm ashamed of this because I spent far too long on it. But I've been studying, trying to work out if it's looped. And I can't tell if it is or not. Because you've got that blooming nutcracker come through. And I've watched the nutcracker come through, watched it closely. Then I've skipped forward to the next nutcracker. And I'm watching that one thinking, is that the same one? I can't tell if it's exactly the same one. Or then I did the same with the present. And I'm watching it come through. I'm thinking, and it does look like they're the same ones, right? But because of the nature of this clip, you've got the donuts constantly running. At no point did I see a loop. You definitely see, because if it's like loads of donuts coming through and then suddenly you put that on the loop, you'd notice suddenly that all the donuts have changed, wouldn't you? Like that, you'd notice the cut in the video. I haven't spotted it, so maybe I need to watch it a bit closer. But it's so boring. It's as boring as this blooming segment. Another thing about this Happy Holly Glazer, they've got Christmas music playing in the background. Plus, also, you can hear like the conveyor making its noises. The music's not that good, actually. It's not particularly jolly. It's not the songs they've got are ones you'd recognise, although one or two I didn't recognise. But they're just not. It's not the best versions of those songs, and it's not got the singing. It is just the instrumental versions of them, and it's not that great. So if you're really a massive fan of Krispy Kreme donuts, then by all means put this on your TV. But I'd recommend playing some other music in the background. Yeah, so that's this episode's version of the Yule Log, and all I can do is apologise, really. I know you lot all hate it, and just don't hate me, because you hate this segment. I'm still doing it, I'm doing it again next week, and you can hate it then as well. So, I think that's a good thing about life, isn't it? There's always something to whinge about. There's always something to whinge about, so you can whinge about this. Anyway, let's move on to this. This episode's recommendation is Grace and Frankie. Do you know, Grace and Frankie, it's been going like, they're on the seventh series. Now, I don't know if you've watched it, it's got Lily Tomlin, Martin Sheen, and Jane Fonda. I think those are sort of the big names you'd recognise. They're all in it. They're not youngsters anymore, I suppose they were in their 70s when it started, they started making it, but now they're all like 80. I think Jane Fonda's like 83, and she looks glorious. She does look gorgeous in it. And it's been going, like I say, about 7 years, and I've had Netflix for about 7 or 8 years, 9 years maybe. I've had Netflix, I think 9 years, I think about it. And I always saw it on there, and I thought, no, I'm not interested in that, not interested in that. And then one day I thought, yeah, I'll give it a shot. And do you know what? It's brilliant. It's so good. I absolutely love it. I think it's probably, 2 years ago I started watching it. And it's a real shame that I think this is the last series now. And it's one of those things that, you know, like a lot of shows I do get bored of. But this one, I wish it would keep going and going. It's really, really funny. The characters are great. I think it's just harmless humour that everyone would enjoy. I think it's really clever and I highly recommend it. So if you're not watching Grace and Frankie, you know, do it. And if you don't want to do it, don't do it. But that's this week's recommendation. If you're not watching Grace and Frankie on Netflix, give it a shot. Watch a few episodes. I think you'll enjoy it. And that is it for this episode. I really hope you've enjoyed it. Not much else for me to say, really. I've enjoyed being here. I'm glad the episode's nearly over, so I can finally put some clothes on. So I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, if you want to get... I do this bit every week, don't I? If you want to get in touch, go on the website. If you want to email this address. I'm not even going to bother this week. I'm not. And I'm going to see... And then when I finish the episode, I'm going to see how I feel about it. And I'll feel like, I feel like something's missing in my life now. Or will I think, that saved me like 30 seconds of my life. I'm glad I didn't do that. So we'll see how I feel. Anyway, I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, you know I love ya. So Merry Christmas!
Hey, Steve! What do you think?
Oh, my God.
It's so cute. Where in the world did you find it?
Eugene Young down at the hardware store sold it to him. Isn't it beautiful? Oh,
beautiful. Yes, and these horses. These horses, I especially like the way you've duct taped the antlers to their heads.